finding your way to the information you need, it matters more than ever before. Online, on radio, on TV, Global News, navigate the now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Rockstar Radio. Our mission is to empower you to move out of the shadows of fear, scarcity, and stagnation, to step into the energy of invincibility, love, abundance, and joy, to become invincible in living your life purpose with electrifying conscious impact, full-out joy, and rocking profitability. We feature rising and established spiritual rock stars that will help you in shifting your consciousness to allow you to make the purposeful impact in the world that you desire. Hi, my name is Dan Hanneman, the Blockbuster, and I'll be your host today. I have a very special guest, Dr. Charlene Proctor, will be joining us discussing the Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness, and Divine Human in You. So we'd always like to get started here with the good news segment. And the good news segment is everything in our lives is designed to operate from divine grace. We often feel that things come up in our lives, in our body, in our relationships, in our money, in our business, in our career, that are messing with us, right? Things that are not pleasant to deal with. And we might assume that they're not there to help us, but they're actually just challenging things that are bothering us and are the blocks that are in the way. But in truth, they're there to reveal things that you're meant to be present with that help you to super accelerate the flow of divine grace in your life when you become deeply present with them and allow them to be transformed. So allow yourself to be present with the blessing and gift each thing is bringing to you in your life, no matter how challenging it might be, no matter how victimized you might feel. The truth, it's there to help to serve you and all those that you are connected with. So that's the good news segment today. So take a good look at it. You'll find the blessing in it if you take a good look at it. I'd like to also invite you today to join the Spiritual Rockstar community, where we're all about shifting your consciousness and allowing you to step forward to be the purposeful entrepreneur with maximum success that you're meant to be. Go to www.spiritualrockstar.com to learn more and to receive your bonus gifts, which include a 15-minute meditation to power and alignment today, along with channeling I've done with Mahatma Gandhi. So take a look at www.spiritualrockstar.com. Also, I'd like you to take a look at, if you're a healer and you'd like to go to six figures and beyond, and learn how to work with your intuition and your psychic gifts to maximize what's possible for you, join us for the Invincible Six Figure Healer Weekend at www.invincible6figurehealer.com. www.invincible6figurehealer.com. Let me tell you about a little bit more about Charlene before we bring her on today. Reverend Dr. Charlene Proctor is the founder of the Goddess Network, an online educational resource for topics on spiritual growth, positive thinking, consciousness, and unity. Charlene inspires people to rediscover their own ability to live authentic lives. Charlene is a subject matter expert for selfgrowth.com and beliefnet.com, the world's largest personal growth websites. Your Empowerment Zone, a 13-week series on Lifetime Television's The Balancing Act, reached millions of viewers searching to improve their lives. Her affirmations, lectures, and electronic programs reach a worldwide audience daily. She is a frequent media guest and among the top 100 thought leaders of 2007. So it's my great honor and pleasure to bring on to the broadcast Dr. Charlene Proctor. Good afternoon.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And we had you here, I think, a couple years ago, and we were talking, I think it was the same topic, but it's like how beautiful that we're bringing you back. You've got the book form of this, the Oneness Gospel that you're releasing now, and I'm really excited to be with you and to discuss that today.
Yeah, thanks. It was a little bit of a shift from the material I was writing before. But, you know, like anything, life's a process. We're supposed to travel to wherever our own learning journey is supposed to be, and it just happened to wind up in India for me. So very interesting. I enjoyed writing this piece. It was good, and so I'm looking forward to talking to you about it.
Wow. So, yeah, I'm sure since the last time we've talked, lots of new things to share. So tell us, for those that are not familiar, you know, about the Oneness Gospel, could you tell us more about this idea of the Oneness Gospel?
Well, I was interested in these teachings that were migrating over from Fiji and India, from this place called the Oneness University.
Uh-huh.
And there's this couple out there, Amma Bhagavan, and they consider themselves one avataric consciousness, which basically to most of us just means that they're joined together as one conscious entity. And, you know, they ran a school out there for years and were teaching these children some really amazing things, not just mysticism and some of those particular ideas, but the whole concept of separation as something that we need to give up in order to be productive, abundant, and happy in our lives. And I had experienced some personal suffering. It was interesting that you started off our segment with the thought that everything in your life is really not there as a blockage. It's there to open a path for your own evolution. I think that's kind of what you said.
right. Translation, yeah, the good.
Yeah, that I'm translating. And so I was interested to find some ideas and some solutions that would help me in my personal life with some suffering that had been really stuck in my body, you know, manifesting in disease and so forth. And so I guess that would be the basic impetus for me to having sought the teachings in the first place. And then the more I got involved and the more I saw and the more I worked with these people and their ideas and saw that they were such simple truths that are the current that underlie every wisdom tradition. Ancient traditions and these teachings are very interfaith. And I thought it was interesting to me as a writer to draw some sort of congruence with this Eastern material with our Western ideas, especially the ideas in the New Testament. So it's kind of an East meets West piece for me. And like I said, very, very interfaith. It doesn't have any dogma or religious tones in it at all, but just really stripping down the ideas and make it more approachable for us. And if we can institute some of these things in our lives today, I think we'll find ourselves being happier and more joyful and able to navigate through, you know, the everyday gunk, if there's a better word, you can let me know, which really isn't gunk. It's just there for our own evolution. So that's kind of how I came about with the material, and I was really interested in the idea of oneness and what that really meant. It seems like such a big idea, you know, and it's like, how do we apply that? So that's what I spent a couple of years doing. I don't know, when did we talk last? Has it been a year?
I think it's almost been 2 years.
2 years.
Time just keeps flying by. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny.
So. Yeah, so that's awesome. So it's really looking at getting beyond, yeah, the dogmas of any tradition and background, and looking at the oneness in it all. And what an awesome movement teaching. So
I thought it's so timely too, because every time we talk to people and we find ourselves slipping into judgment, or we watch television and everything is based upon creating a polarity. And I know that this is part of our existence. We have to have a positive and a negative. They each define each other. It's important. Well, it's the way our universe is set up. But we seem to be creating unnecessary controversy for every single little thing. And we are embroiled in this negative vibration so much that we really are getting so divorced from this concept that we are all one being and we are never outside all that is. And once we start seeing ourselves as separate, that to me, and to also, believe it or not, the teachings of the people that I worked with in India say that that is the source of our suffering, is our belief in our separation. And if we can't break through that at some sort of conceptual level, we're never going to move beyond, you know, just navigating through life on autopilot. We have to really be looking for something that binds us to the person on the other side of the world, or binds us to the person in town that has a different job or a different face or a different economic situation than us, you know, as us. And it's really time. And I think that all of us in the spiritual community, certainly you and many others like us, have been talking about these major shifts that are happening in consciousness. And it's hilarious to me, really, now that I'm thinking about it. I hope I don't go off on a tangent here. But all these films we have about disaster, and oh, it's 2012, and we're in an upheaval, and people are kind of expecting, well, what does that mean? You know, is the world going to end? Are we having the ice age and so forth? And then, and really it's just, it's a change in the way we think in a mass quantity. It's a change, it's a shift in consciousness and individual awareness that helps to create a better world. So the idea of oneness is so vitally important to that, because even though each of us individually can make change and raise our vibrational level, you know, because if we want peace in our lives, for example, you know, we have to vibrate at the idea of peace. For example, Gandhi, I mean, his whole life was dedicated to that, right? And his life was all about that. So everywhere he went, he attracted it, and he made it happen because that's where his consciousness was. Well, we can learn from people like that. I mean, the planet is filled with people, both present and past, who have shown us this way of projecting their thought into form, and yet we still don't want to learn from it. So if we could all understand that we all are capable of the same thing, because we're all one entity and we're all these individualized sparks of divine creation, I think we have amazing potential now. Our eyes are opening. There's so many people that are releasing old programming and old conditioning and old culture ideas that are holding them behind. And it's an exciting time. It should be nothing for anyone to be afraid of. And I really enjoyed writing this piece. I think it's got a very positive message to it, and brings hope for many people. And, yeah, thanks for having me on to talk about it.
So, this idea of separation, it's very alluring in a way. We can actually separate from God, you know. Look at us. We can do it. But this big illusion, right?
It's so funny, because they say out there that that's actually the first thing that you learn if you go out there to study with these people, is that they think that people in the West have such a strong belief in separation.
Right.
And we have to give up the idea. It's kind of the foundation for all suffering. I mean, and when you hear this belief in separation, it really, once you think about it, it makes sense. It's truly, if you want to call it a sin, you know, which is really just missing the mark. It's nothing more than that. It's an error in thinking, is what that word means. But it's this error in thinking that we're separate from the good or the God or in consciousness. And the salvation that we're talking about is now. It's not something that occurs after death. It's something that happens when we turn our thoughts away from fear or anxiety or everyday worry and doubt, and we must shift that to oneness and, you know, thoughts of harmony, joy, peace, love, all these things we've been talking about. And, you know, this fall that we hear so much about in some of these wisdom traditions that are out there. It takes place in our consciousness whenever we're falling into these negative habits of thinking. I mean, to me, heaven and hell are just states of consciousness. They're no locations. And we make our own heaven and hell here and now by, you know, by our thoughts and words and deeds. And certainly one of the errors in our thinking is that we are separate from the next person or separate from the person that's across the world who is suffering or hungry, or we're thinking that we're suffering in such a unique way and no one else in the history of humankind has ever suffered the way that we have. And
or
so
ever
happens,
will.
Oh, no. And it's also funny, too, because we think we own that suffering and then we begin to think we're so unique, and that contributes to more of the idea of separation, which is truly an error, you know, Dan. It really is, because there is nothing outside all that is. I mean, how can you be outside of everything? It's virtually impossible. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, which was kind of interesting, because we were talking about divinity and, you know, maybe what that means. And if we consider that the universe, or, you know, God or whatever you might want to call it in your wisdom tradition, is everything, you know, all-knowing presence, all-loving presence, well, how does that make you separate from that potential within yourself? I mean, this is what all of us as spiritual teachers and writers have been talking about. We just can't seem to package it in the right way to reach people and make them, you know, wake them up and say, you're not any different than that. You are an individualized spark of divinity or divine creation, but the difference between you and maybe a person on the other side of the world that's blowing up, you know, somebody's home, is they just have not awakened to their potential. They don't see themselves as being part of all that is. They see themselves as separate. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a pretty broad concept, but on the other hand, it's very simple. And if we can find a way to communicate that to people, we're going to have so much more joy and get so much more out of life, both as a person, individual, and as a family, and as a world community, than we can possibly imagine.
So tell us a little bit about how your book, The Oneness Gospel, begins to help us to understand how we might do that.
Well, let's see. I thought about the processes that I had gone through out there. And again, one of the reasons that drew me to the material, I was very curious in the blessing and some of this mystical stuff that was going on. But the more of these programs I attended, and then in the stateside, and then went out to Fiji and India to do these processes, all of the desire for any kind of mystical experiences really just evaporated. There was really no place for it, because what they were teaching us is to be fully present and to understand that when there is suffering, that we have to be with it. And this is a very a big breakthrough for a lot of people in the West. They always say that the biggest disease of Western culture is that not only do we lack awareness of the present moment. You know, we're always texting and running around, thinking about the past and the future, and we're living on old conditioning, and we're not fully engaged in just being here. But our big disease is managing our suffering. We don't want to look at our suffering. We want to stuff it or go to therapy or drink or complain or get mad at our families. You know, we want to run away, shop more, look for love in the wrong places. We're
get an ice, get more ice cream or something.
Yeah, there you go. Eat more ice cream, and we want to run away from it. And we do not face our suffering head on and allow it to fill us and feel it and stay with that pain, or even processing these things called emotional charges, which get stuck in the energy layers in our bodies, you know, and then those in turn, as you know, fester and they turn into, manifest into physical disease. And so we think in the West that the way to deal with our suffering is just to manage it and contain it. And that is impossible. That is not the key to living in joy and the way to fully experiencing life. So the first piece about this, which is was certainly coming as a surprise to me, is wait a minute, we have to sit in our own suffering? Oh, my Lord, you have never had anything so depressing happen in your life than to sit in a room with 50 people and experience your own suffering for 3 days in a state of silence. It's just awful. And, you know, we don't want to do that. I mean, it's really funny, but a lot of people are spiritual seekers, and they get caught up in the whole ambiance of spiritual seeking. And so what happens to them? They define their lives as being a seeker, and they never really find what they're looking for because they're just trying to seek and not to experience what is being shown them. So a big piece of the teachings in the very beginning that I went through was to really understand suffering and to understand why we don't really live through it and want to embrace it. And of course, the people in the West that go to these programs are so hilarious. And, you know, the first thing they say is they raise their hands and they say, wait a minute, you're telling me that I have to sit here and be with, you know, a hiatal hernia or back pain, or I'm supposed to experience the joy and suffering of giving childbirth and all of this stuff. And it's sort of a short-sighted view of it, because the more you practice this in your own life, and a great example is grief, is when somebody close to you dies. And what do we do for that? Oh, we're trying so hard. We go to the funeral, and we've lost a loved one. It's so painful, and we're just trying to hold it together, you know. And what we should be doing is just fully diving into the process of grief and letting it overwhelm us and to be with it. Because the one thing they teach you is that the more that you're able to do that and to move through these states of suffering efficiently and quickly, which, by the way, we are all designed to do, we are all designed as human beings to move through these things. If we didn't, there wouldn't be a human race by now. We would have extincted ourselves 2 million years ago. The human body is designed to process suffering. But where we get in trouble is when we don't want to go there. And we have to learn how to simply be with it. And when we do, we move through it much quicker and more efficiently, and there's definitely peace and joy at the end of the process. So I would say that, you know, and there's so many more pieces to the processes, but I would say that would be the beginning of what it is, because you know as well as I do, Dan, that when you are a spiritual seeker, there's always something. There's a blockage, or there's a suffering or terrible trauma or drama or story that makes you fall to your knees and you say, what do I do now?
What did I do to deserve it even?
Or even better, where do I go from here? It's like, what do we do? And so we search and we try to find answers. And and the solution really is to just accept and to be with it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
the suffering is actually being with it is the whole idea. Right, exactly. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's definitely where we can step into grace. And, you know, I think there is that myth that if we get really mystical and we tap into the highest dimensions, then we're going to transcend it all and we'll never suffer again.
It's not possible. I think that, you know, and the other thing that was intriguing to me is about one aspect of oneness, and this may sound a little abstract, but it is about being completely aware of God within yourself. I mean, think about it. That's kind of what oneness is. And we are always looking, especially as Westerners, searching after we have been, you know, dropped down on our knees over some particular suffering and not knowing what to do, looking for some mystical experience that's going to help us figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, we want the psychic to tell us what to do, or we want, you know, some vision. We pray for a dream to guide us and so forth. And we go out in the garden, we look for answers. Please, you know, give me a sign. And those things happen, you know, they do, because we can be very tuned in if we want. But we have to remember, and you've said this word a couple times already, and I want to comment on it, about grace. You know, it's such a vital part of our lives, and we don't understand it. We're so disconnected from that. And what is that? Grace is just the holy presence. That's all it is. It is the presence. And it is the activity, in my opinion, it is the activity of the divine. That's it. It is divine love helping you and healing you. It's like this mother, you know, this comfort and warmth, and she folds you into your lap. And there's no effort. There is no effort on our behalf, no resistance involved in receiving this grace. I always say it's free and on the house and available to everyone. I mean, it's there. And it's this energy that's always there, but we don't recognize it. And the one thing they teach you out in the East is that when you change your perceptions on grace and you get more tuned into that, when you allow it to enter your experience, there's this amazing progress and healing, and it becomes a huge shift forward for the person. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you've got a little fuel behind the engine. You know that you're not doing it all alone. But it's important to invite it into your experience. It's basically just the holy presence. And when we reconnect, and this takes us back to the, you know, whole idea of oneness, when we cannot allow ourselves to forget our connection to the divine presence, because it's we're all one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are remembering our connection, and when we do, and we rely more upon this grace, this graceful invitation that's available to us, it's life can become so much more powerful, and most of us just forget to ask for it. You know, it just ask for it, and it will come to you. It's everyone's birthright, and it's our MO. It's the way we operate. You know, and they really do a lot of work with people about how to tune into that and to accept it and to show. We were shown in many, many different ways through blessings and all kinds of vibrational raising with each of us, and everyone had different kinds of experiences about how grace really works. And it's an amazing healing power, Dan. I mean, I never was really moved into it before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we come back and we resume our jobs. And we sit around and look out the window and go, what the heck? What am I supposed to do with this now? I mean, is it possible to live in this?
To live in the regular life, like, and do it, yeah.
How do you
well,
live a regular life and remember all that? And that's really the comedy of it.
We can do it when we go away on the retreat, but what about when I get home, right? So.
Yeah.
But the principles work everywhere. That the illusion is oh well, that's a pristine environment where you can do it. You can do it everywhere. There's not. It's only a story that, you know, it's any harder anywhere else, in my opinion. Okay. Now, you know, we could say, oh well, not really because of this or that, but that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm sure you'd agree. And so. So there's just only a few minutes left. If there's anything you want to share about the oneness blessing real quick, and then also where can people, I just got the 90-second warning. But if you could tell people where they could learn about the oneness gospel and perhaps about the oneness blessing, that'd be great.
Go to theoneessgospel.com or our website, charleneproctor.com. You can click at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book. It'll take you into our book page, or even just go to our website and contact us there. We have a book trailer you can watch that'll give you a little bit about the book. And so just you can email us, and we will connect you with the right people if you want to learn more about the blessing. And the book launches on April 24th, but it's available now. You can buy it on Amazon and all the major retailers. So we look forward to hearing from people. And certainly this chat we've had will be posted on our homepage, so they can go back and listen to that and contact us from our homepage.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, everybody check that out and go to, again, what's the URL?
It would be theonenessgospel.com or charleneproctor.com.
Okay, there you go. And so go to either one of those and check it out. And thank you so much for coming on the show today, Charlene. It's been a real pleasure to be with you as always.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And thanks to our listeners, and keep tuning in. We're looking forward to bringing you more and more great guests. And so keep tuning in, and we'll keep on rocking it here on Spiritual Rockstar Radio. Have a good afternoon, everybody. Bye-bye.
We all dream of brighter futures. Dreams keep us inspired and give us goals to reach for. Whatever your goal, improving or changing your career, writing a book, or starting a new business, the University of Toronto's School of Continuing Studies helps you plan your goals, realize the unknown, and live the reality you've always been wanting. Enroll today in one of our 685 courses at learn.utoronto.ca.